As thousands of delegates gather for this week's COP30 climate summit in Brazil, the standoff over hosting rights for next year's event continues, with still no agreement between hopefuls Australia and Turkey. Adelaide is Australia's pick, backed by the federal and South Australian governments as part of a joint Australia-Pacific bid, despite debate over the multi-million dollar cost to taxpayers. But one climate expert argues the real value of hosting COP31 lies in the security and regional partnerships that could help Australia to build. Mike Kopich is the director of CoTerran, a new climate and security consultancy. And until this year, he led the Australian Strategic Policy Institute's Climate and Security Policy Centre. Mike, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me on, Sally.
From an economic point of view, is Adelaide a good choice to host COP31 next year, given the size of the event and the tens of thousands of delegates who would fly in?
Well, I think South Australia has proven that it's able to hold fairly large events in the past, and by its own modelling, it expects to get a fairly decent benefit from these from the side effect of the event. Much as with any mega international event, there are a significant amount of benefits from tourism or from, you know, accommodations, those sorts of things. But in and of itself, South Australia and Adelaide is an excellent choice because it does have a lot of leadership to put on display for clean energy, which we know we need more progress and demonstration of. So it is a good choice. I think it could have easily been in a different city, but I think Brisbane is locked up with preparations for the Olympics. So I think Adelaide is a solid choice for sure.
And what do the numbers look like, the estimates, as best we can tell? Would this be of net value to South Australia, or it will be a cost to South Australia?
Well, South Australia's modelling last year, I believe, released estimated around $500 million in benefit from the event. And as we saw from reporting last week, the overall cost of COP could range widely depending on the scope of what it looks like, which is very much dependent on what is, if anything, agreed with Turkey by the end of COP30, whether that includes a leaders' summit held in Turkey or also in Australia, or if the events are split in some respect beyond that.
You've written that focusing only on the dollars and cents misses the wider value of hosting COP31. What else should be part of that cost-benefit equation, in your view?
Well, COP31 doesn't happen for Australia unless it is a co-hosted bid with the Pacific. And that means more than just, I think, having them present in the room while Australia is announcing things and driving it forward. Fundamentally, for Australia, COP31 is about building its strategic partnership with the Pacific on climate change, which the Pacific Island Forum leaders have clearly identified as the most fundamental risk to their security. And this isn't just a question for Australia and the Pacific. It's also a question of driving action on climate in a way that grapples with the scale of the threat, as we're seeing with the super typhoons that are passing through our neighbors to the north. So by all means, making sure that COP31 is delivered at value for money at such great expense is critical for taxpayers. These events are immense, much like the Olympics in Brisbane, which will cost billions of dollars. There's no getting around the fact that having that many people in one location for such an extended period of time is costly. On the flip side, although for many of us that have been in the climate space for a long time, along with those that frankly attack climate as a space for action, there's no replacement for what COPs do in terms of driving progress on climate. If we do not have the annual climate negotiations on COPs, through the COPs, we would not have common rules by which to reduce emissions, to even understand how any given country is emitting or plans for action. There'd be no basis for this. So we would be looking at a much warmer world towards the end of the century than we already are. So there really is no replacement for COPs. Some country at some point has to step up to pay that cost to host it. The question then is, what is the real value of it? And it does, as you say, go beyond the dollars and cents. It's really about the fact that Australia is trying to be a key strategic partner to the Pacific in this context. It wants to elevate that voice to the global conversation on climate. It wants to improve the process, I hope, certainly from what we've seen in the last few years, including COP28 in the UAE. So there are a number of critical benefits to holding this and for Australia to be a partner at a time when some of our other partners, like the US, have withdrawn when we need action to be sustained.
On Radio National Breakfast, you're hearing from Mike Kopich, co-director of CoTerran, a new climate and security consultancy. We're talking about the costs and benefits potentially if Australia is awarded the hosting rights for COP31. This will be decided in the next few weeks, and participants are gathering for COP30 currently in Brazil. This standoff between Australia and Turkey is yet to be resolved. These COP summits often attract significant protest and others. There are the invited delegates and then there are the others who want to show up and be heard as well. How costly are the security concerns?
They're significant, and I think it's significant depending on how the format takes shape. For example, the leader summit component of COPs end up having a greater degree of security because you have the heads of state arriving for a given country. And what we've seen reported, I think, on more recently is that if there is an agreement struck with Turkey, it would be more likely that Turkey hosts the leader summit, which would mean that we'd have less heads of state coming to Australia. And that would take down the cost, the security arrangements I would expect from hosting COP31 substantially compared to having it here. On the flip side, we will hope to have some. I think you'd still hope to have some leaders, that you can't get away from some aspect of the security. But much like any key event like this, there are substantial security costs. Adelaide is a smaller city, but they, you know, I believe that there would be a reasonable way to host this. You just can't get around the fact that, you know, these things have in the past cost hundreds of millions. COP26 in Glasgow in 2021 cost the UK government, I believe, in the hundreds of millions of pounds. It's the nature of these events. They are some of the largest diplomatic multilateral discussions we have, but we can't stack that solely as a question of how much does it cost and, you know, is it really worth it? This isn't a party. This is about making sure that we have common rules on dealing with climate change, which is, frankly, our most our pressing and pacing threat of our times.
Mike, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks so much.
Mike Kopich is a climate and security analyst, talking about the costs and benefits if Adelaide and Australia gets the hosting rights for COP31.